Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Well, it's good to be here with you all. As Barry said, I'm Canadian. I was born in Moncton on the East Coast in New Brunswick, but my parents were missionaries and pastors, and so when I was 1 year old, they moved to Quebec, and I lived in Quebec for 4 years, and then when I was five, we moved to Taiwan and lived there for 4 years, and when we came back, we lived around the Toronto area. And so, as Barry said, I come from a ministry family, but when I was younger, I said I would never be a pastor, and I would never be a missionary. Because I saw the cost. I saw the impact to children. I saw the sacrifice and the impact on my parents and what they went through. But what I did say that I wanted to do was to say yes to what God had. And apparently what God had for me meant that I became a pastor and I became a missionary. And so, as I'm speaking today, I think there's a really good question for you is what is God asking you to say yes to? What is the next step that you are taking with Him? We've been in Estonia for 6 years now, and if you have the PowerPoint, you can put up the picture of my family. Arlie and Aria couldn't make the trip. Flights are quite expensive. If you've ever flown over to Europe, it's costly. So last year, Aria was able to come, and she got to go to Whistler for the convention. But Levi, I think, felt a little left out. And so this year, he's with me, and it's his first trip back to Canada. And so he was four when we left, and so he doesn't have a whole lot of memory. So he's experiencing his, yeah, so this is Arlie, and then Aria, she's 11 now. This picture's maybe a year and a half old. If you go to the next picture, you'll see what Aria and Levi looked like when we first went. So that was Levi at four, just after we arrived, and Aria at five. And in a way that only God could orchestrate, my dad was 35. When we went to Taiwan, I was 5 years old. I was 35 when we went to Estonia, and Aria was 5 years old. Just, I mean, it's not that I planned it that way. I couldn't have planned it that way. It's just God's way of working. So we've been there 6 years, and so Levi's back, and just to give you a sense of the cost, he's able to see his cousins and play with his cousins and see his family and see Canada, and now he realizes more of what he's missing out on. And that's a hard thing. He's realizing the sacrifice of living away in Estonia. And so you can pray for our children. You can pray for them as they grow. They go to school. It's entirely in Estonian. And the Estonian school system's pretty high level, pretty intense. So if you do think of us, please pray for our children, that God will be with them and strengthen them. But it has been good, too. It's been a real big blessing. They get a childhood like I had growing up. They can walk to school, walk home to school, go to extracurriculars. Levi did a 20-kilometer bike ride with his friend the other day. So they really get a lot more independence and a lot more responsibility. Estonian children probably is more on the other side of the pendulum than Canadian children, where they may not get as much of a childhood. They have to grow up quickly. So Estonia, we've been there 6 years, and God has done a lot in that time. We live in a small town of Haapsalu, and if you go, I think, to the next slide, you'll see Estonia. Estonia is pretty far north. It's quite far north, but it's temperate because of the Baltic Sea. So you don't get really harsh winters. It's maybe minus 20 to plus 30 in the summer. But you get the long, long summer days. So it's maybe an hour, hour and a half more daylight than Calgary. And in the wintertime, you get maybe 6 hours of daylight. And so it's quite dark. The whole country only has 1.3 million people. And the city that we live in, it's considered a city, has only 10,000 people. And so it's quite small. And culturally, Estonia has been shaped by occupation. They, throughout history, they just got their freedom in 1918 for the first time, but throughout their history, they've been occupied by Germany, by Denmark, by Sweden, by Russia, that would be Tsarist Russia, and then most recently by the Soviet Union. And that trauma, that, that has significantly impacted how Estonians are. So they're very cynical, they're very closed off, and it makes it, you have to work extra hard to develop a relationship with Estonians. There's a question that I like to ask, too, actually, and this applies to everybody. No matter how long you've walked with Jesus, or maybe you haven't walked with Jesus at all, but where are you at in your relationship with God? Where are you at in your relationship with Jesus? Are you running away from him? Are you walking towards him? Where are you at? And what is that next step that he's asking you to take? And that applies, doesn't matter. Barry, you have a next step that Jesus is asking you. Chris, you have a next step. Deborah, you have a next step that God is asking you to do. And so as we minister in Estonia, these are the types of questions that we're asking the people that we're walking with. When we first arrived, if you go to the, I'll share a little bit about Estonian language too. Estonian language is very hard. It's one of the most difficult for an English learner or an English speaker to learn. There are 14 cases in Estonian, and that means that depending who you're talking about, whether you're talking about a group of people or individual, or if, no matter what it is, there's a different case and the ending of the word. So that second column is the question, who? Guess. But if you're asking to who, then it's kella. Or if you're asking of whom, it's keda. So it's a very difficult, complicated language. I say I can speak Estonian well enough to get myself into trouble and not well enough to get myself out of trouble. And so that's fun. So if I'm preaching in Estonia, I have a translator. I'm not quite there yet, but I can have conversations with people. Everybody under 40 in Estonia pretty much speaks English, depending on whether they're confident enough. So if I start speaking Estonian, people will often respond in English to me. And then if they're not confident, then they'll just avoid the awkward conversation altogether. So when we first arrived, if you go to the next picture in Estonia, we didn't know where, we knew the city we were going to live in, but we didn't have a place to live. And so we rented an Airbnb in the winter off-season. Hopsa is like a resort town. It's right on the coast. And so we rented an Airbnb, and we were looking for a place, a longer-term place to stay. And we found this building, and Annalie saw the sign. It wasn't even listed yet. She called the number, and we were able to buy this house. When we bought it, it was a bar. So the bar was still inside the building. And interestingly, when we go around the town, everybody has a story about this bar. There was a bar fight here. I know this guy died there. A lot of them were like, oh, thank you for buying this and transforming this building. And while we were renovating the building, because it needed basically a gut reno, everybody's asking, some of the former patrons of this bar came by and said, so when are you opening up? When will you be opening? And they would get a different type of wine if they were to come. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see this is what the house looks like now. And it was fully renovated by a father-son team. They lived just down the street, Christians, and it was an amazing process. And when we bought, it was very interesting because up until then, a lot of the locals were asking us, how long are you staying here? How long are you going to be here? And when we bought the house, then they felt, okay, you're here for the long term. you're staying, we can begin to open up to you. And so it was actually a really pivotal aspect of ministry, of showing them, hey, we're here for as long as God has us here, and we're here to walk with you, not just to come and run. And so if you look in the right corner there, you'll see another building in the background, and I'll be speaking a little bit more about that in a minute. When we first arrived, we were really looking to build connection with community. And so we started partnering with Food Bank. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see we did a weekly Bible study and meal with some of the Food Bank patrons. And we were also delivering food. We were able to buy an older van, and we are delivering food to the rural communities. And there's a lot of poverty in the rural community, so we were delivering food there. And, you know, you don't build a large ministry by delivering food to individual families. But one of the families that we were delivering food to, they were a teacher at a local boarding school. And I'm not sure how the conversation happened, but basically she recommended, hey, there's these missionaries, they speak English, why don't you have them come to the school? And so through that connection, without any of us, we were asked, hey, would you mind coming into our boarding school? We'd love you to be in the class and the English class and speak English with our students, but we'd also love for you to come and put on a program for our youth at the boarding school. And so at the boarding school, it's like a pop-up youth group where they just want to connect, and they're away from their parents and their families, so they're quite lonely. And we had that opportunity to go in and be able to do that. There's a picture of that a little bit later. So if you go to the next slide, this was a Thanksgiving meal. Estonians don't really do Thanksgiving, so we're introducing them to the concept of saying thanks. There's Pastor Elizabeth Umana came to visit as well. And if you go to the next slide, I think we have English lessons. So me with my imperfect English trying to teach Estonians English. And then the next slide is the school. So this was the boarding school, and being able to connect with, I think they had about 30 students or maybe even a little bit more. And just we cooked with them, we played games with them, and we asked them questions. And it was amazing to see. All of that ministry activity, when COVID happened, had to stop. Couldn't go into schools anymore, couldn't do the food bank work. And in January of 2020, the son of the father-son team was killed in a car accident. And it was the day before we were supposed to go to the boarding school for the first time. And he said that we asked him basically, would you like to partner with us in this ministry? And that's actually a really big step, that someone is willing to work with you. So we're like, wow, this is great. You know, we have this amazing open door to go into a school, which is almost unheard of. And we have a local person who's willing to work with us and serve with us. And the day before we're going, he's killed in a car accident. And that was in January of 2020. And obviously in March of 2020, everything's shut down. And so when he was killed, Arnie and I really started just to walk with the family. And he was married, so he had a very young widow. I think she was 21 at the time. So if you go to the next picture, this is the women's group that meets. And the woman on the left there is his widow. And honestly, literally, I saw your sign up there about walking stick ministry. That's amazing. But during the pandemic, honestly, literally walked with, Miley's is her name, walked with her through her grief, because that was really the only thing that we could do, that we were allowed to do. And realizing that there's all kinds of ministry activity that you can do, but it's the relationship that has to go deep. Your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with others as you're walking with Jesus. And so we've seen so many amazing testimonies come out of that walking in relationship with the people of Hopsilo. So this women's group was run by another pastor's wife, and she was moving away. And so the women, as a result, I think, of seeing Annalie and her faithfulness, said, hey, Annalie, would you mind leading our ecumenical women's group here in discipleship and Bible study, and just teach us and lead us and guide us and facilitate what God wants to do? And so that has been amazing to see how God has been transforming these women's lives as and like real life stuff. So there's one story, one of the women that attends the meeting, she'd been living common law for 20 years with a man. And nobody raised this as a significant issue, but through 8 months of just attendance and Bible study and relationship, the Holy Spirit convicted her and said, hey, like, I shouldn't be living with this man. I need to ask him to marry me. Otherwise, he's got to move out. And so she has gone through that process, and that's a big, significant life change. And so these women are really being transformed. In Haapsalu, you know, there's, and in Estonia in general, there's still this debate over whether women can be pastors or ministers. And so that's Annalie, as a licensed Foursquare pastor, has to face and walk through some of that. But when we go and visit the churches in Haapsalu, they say, hey, here's Annalie, and she leads our women. She leads our women group. And so right now we don't have something that we call a church, but allowing everybody to come is a non-threatening way. None of the other local churches feel like we're trying to steal their members or, and so it's been amazing just to see how God has been working through these women's lives. If you go to the next slide. So this is the backyard house, and that's what it looks like at night in the summertime. We have an apple tree. Those are the glowing things on the ground there. But this space is a separate space from our building or our house, and it's actually really critical for our ministry. Foursquare Canada helped us to purchase it, and it has really transformed the way that we do our ministry. Because in Estonian culture, if I invite you to my house, there's an expectation that they will invite us back. And so they will say, no, I'm not comfortable. No, no, thank you. And if they're in your personal space, they will feel potentially uncomfortable. And so having a third space allows us to do ministry in a way that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. It's also not a traditional church building, and that also helps. People just feel comfortable. We've prayed over it, and everybody who comes into that space feels really comfortable. I've been playing soccer for the past year and a half, and at the end of last season, I invited all the soccer team over to our place, which is kind of a big thing. And we just hung out, and it was an outreach opportunity to build relationship with them. And they were all asking, like, so what does a pastor do? And what does a missionary do? And why'd you come to Estonia? And it was really, really great, but they felt comfortable to be in that space. And as a result of that, one of the members of the team, he invited me to his sauna nights. In Estonian culture, sauna is like the most intimate kind of environment. You invite your friends to your sauna nights. You sit down and you go into a sauna, and it's, you know, 100 degrees Celsius in there, and you talk about life and stuff that matters. And so he invited me over, which in Estonian culture is a big kind of evidence of an open door. And so we have seen so many opportunities like that to build relationship with those that are not saved, those that don't know Jesus. And that's our heart, is to help people to take the next step, no matter where they are in their journey with God. If they're far away, maybe it's one or two steps closer to him. And if they're already walking with him, it's what is that next step that he is wanting to do with you and through you. Now, you'll see the winter picture here. There's a little bit of snow. If you go to the next one, that's what it looks like in the wintertime. We get about 20 centimeters of snow, usually not too much more. In Estonia, actually, the further south you go because of the Baltic Sea, the colder it gets, and even potentially the more snow you get. So it's kind of backwards sometimes. And then if you go to the next slide, in Estonia, Estonia doesn't have a lot of Foursquare work. So the Nordic countries have joined together, Foursquare, basically Estonia, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, and Denmark have joined and made a region together. And so we have a summer camp every year that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise just in our individual countries. And so this past summer, last year, we were able to take some of the youth, and I'm Anneli and I help facilitate the youth, coordinate all the youth work for that region. And we were able to take them to an island close by and ask them those same questions. Where are you at with God? And what is your next step? And that's always encouraging to see. And some of them are pastors' kids, and you know, those answers can be interesting and good to have a safe person to talk to about that. And so if you go to the next slide, we played a little game with them where the boys and the girls had to start a fire with flint and steel and see who could do it first. And the boys won. My heart is for youth as well. And we've had a lot of opportunity over the years to work with youth, not just at the boarding school, but there were a lot of young offenders in Haapsalu. They were getting into trouble, and through connecting with the police, at one point they were actually knocking on our windows. Our house is right on the street there, the sidewalk's right beside it, and they were knocking on the windows, and Ollie ended up calling the police, and she reacted differently than the others. And so the police were like, why are you reacting differently? And through that, we were able to work with those young offenders, some of the same ones that knocked on our window, and help them fulfill the community service hours that they were needing to do. And most recently, last year, Anneli took a soul care course, which is a Nordic model of counseling. And they asked Anneli to be the emergency counselor for suicidal youth and really at-risk youth. And so she was doing that last year. That's really, really intense work, really draining emotionally and spiritually and physically as well. And so we're looking for ways that we can continue to do that, but do that in a more sustainable, long-term manner and see the impact, because when it's counseling, you aren't always able to share the real hope that God has. You have to be kind of careful and cautious with that, because it's kind of more official city type work. And so you can keep that in your prayer as well, as we look forward to how can we do that and help. There's actually a pretty big problem with depression and suicide in Estonia, especially since the pandemic. I think that's fairly, occurs quite a bit worldwide since the lockdowns, but in Estonia especially. Now, one amazing testimony, if you go to the next slide, this is the Foursquare Europe Youth Conference. And kind of like our region, all of the countries in Europe get together and say, hey, you know, there may only be a few youth in your country, but let's get together. Let's encourage each other. Let's hear from God. And so this past year, we were able to take 13 people went on this trip to, it was in Amsterdam, to this conference. And if you go to the next picture, one of them was this boy. This picture was probably 2021 at one of those family camps for our region. He came and we did a ropes course together, and we were doing ministry, and we invited him to that youth conference this past year. At that youth conference, God got a hold of his heart and completely transformed his life. And he dedicated his life to Jesus, and then he said, I want the same for my friends. And so we went back to Estonia and said, hey, can I meet you? And we met for dinner, and he said, I want to do something. I want my friends to know Jesus like I know him, because he's changed my life. And so he said, can we have a meeting? So for the past 3 months, the last meeting was the day before we flew to Canada. We've been walking through like Youth Alpha and had six youth, including Sam, but basically five of them are completely unchurched, don't know a whole lot. And so walking through, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is church about? What is prayer about? where do we go after we die, and walking through Youth Alpha. So that's been an amazing testimony of just God's faithfulness. And Barry, you were saying, you know, like what we're doing, but really when I sit back and see these moments, it's more about what God is doing. And he's just invited us to kind of go along for the ride. And that's the thing that fills my heart with joy. There was a moment in Amsterdam on the Sunday. Normally in the conference, you'd go out or you'd have a service with the local church, but that wasn't going to work this year. So we did a service in the main Amsterdam Square. And, you know, I had spoken a little bit at the service, and then I was just standing back and watching all the youth gathered there, praising God out in the middle of public with a megaphone, and it was raining. And a guy came over and started talking to me, and he was Chinese. And so, you know, we are missionaries in Taiwan. I know a little bit of Mandarin. Started talking to him. And Sam, that student, he was watching this happen. And the plan was after the service, we were going to go around and witness to everybody. And so this guy came over. He's like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're worshiping God. He's like, oh, God, I know God. He's, you know, he's up there and he's waiting for you to do something wrong. And so I said, do you want to know what God is really like? And so he said, yeah. So I was able to walk through, you know, creation and fall and Jesus and why Jesus came. And I gave him my good preaching Bible. He was very grateful. And then we prayed together and he said, hey, I feel the power in Asian culture. It's very spiritually focused. They're very aware spiritually. So a lot of their spirituality is around protecting themselves from bad spirits and wanting only the good spirits around. And so when we prayed, he said, I feel the power. You know, I feel power. And Sam watched that. And this was really a thing from God for Sam because he watched that happen. I didn't move my feet. This guy from China who's studying in Spain and just happened to be in Amsterdam walked up to me and said, hey, what's going on? And from that point on, he was like, I want to, you know, I'm with you and I want to follow you. So if the next picture shows the Bible study, it's hard to see, but there's us in there just discussing the things that matter in life and the things of God. And so that's been a really humbling thing just to see how God has orchestrated, because you never know 2, 3, 4 years down the road how God is going to open a door, or he had already laid the groundwork for an open door, delivering food in the rural countryside or doing youth ministry with a younger teen who now wants to witness to his friends. So those things are really amazing and really humbling just to see how God works. So that's my encouragement for you today, is where are you at with God? Can you be honest with where you're at? Are you close to him? Are you walking with him? And if you are, what is that next step that he is leading you to take? In Matthew, Jesus saw Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said, come, follow me. Matthew didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was getting into. And sometimes it's that way with God. Sometimes we have to say yes before we know what we're getting into. And it was like that for me when I was younger. I just want to say yes. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be with him. And I haven't always known what that means or what's going to happen. But it has been an amazing journey so far, and it's not over yet. And so, you know, our journey has taken us here today, and it's a great blessing. I want to say thank you to Pastor Barry. He has really encouraged us and walked with us through difficult times, and so I thank you for your church, and you, Barry, for being there with us when it matters. You know, when you're on a mission field, it can be very lonely. It can be very challenging. When we first heard the call, when we got married in Estonia. And I was prepared to stay in Estonia. I'd filled out all my paperwork, all my family history, 10 years of addresses, which if you're a pastor's kid and missionary kid, it's a long list. And I think the longest I lived in one place until I was 16 was 2 years. So it was a lot of moving. But I was ready to stay, and God said, no, you got to go back to Canada. That's where I want you. And so we dropped that, came to Canada. We were Canada for 11 years. And 10 years in, God said, okay, now it's time to go back. I've prepared you. I became a youth pastor. I only studied social work. I worked at World Vision and got management training and all kinds of beneficial instruction there. And when we told our friends in Estonia, hey, we're coming back, they said, don't bother. It's dead here. There's no point. Spiritually, we're dead. And we saw that 11 years was God taking us out and preparing us, filling us up, strengthening us to be able to go back to Estonia, to encourage them, to inspire them to walk with God, to be connected to the Holy Spirit and walk with Him. And so hopefully you guys can do that too. Missions is not about where in the world you are, really. As Barry said, it's wherever you are, you're saying yes to what God, the opportunities that God puts in front of you to share your faith, to encourage, to pray, to serve, to walk with walking sticks. Could have used them yesterday. We did a hike in a mountain, and it was pretty sketchy getting down. But that's my encouragement for you today. Where are you at with Jesus? And what does He have for you next? What do you need to say yes to? Or what do you need to say no to so that you can have what He has for you? And that's what I have to share.
We're going to pray for you?
Sure.
Okay.
Would you just extend your hand toward John right now? God, thank you for John and Annalie. Thank you for their children. God, we pray your blessing upon his life, upon their lives. Your word tells us the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And clearly, as you have ordered their steps, they have been faithful and obedient to take those steps. And so, God, here in this moment, in this season, we pray for your blessing. We pray for your favor to rest upon them. Thank you that it has and it does, but we pray for just a greater measure of favor, that as they lay their lives down, as they plant seed, as they minister, as they are poured out like an offering, God, that they would see not only the evidence of their faithfulness, but God, a demonstration of fruitfulness. God, that as they pour their lives out into this dry land, I pray just for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit on their lives and ministry, that there would be such a refreshing move of your Spirit that would touch Estonia. God, and where it's been said it's been dark or hard or dry because of your Holy Spirit being poured upon the Kellys as a point of contact, there would just be a fountainhead that would flow out of them, your rivers of living water, to bring such a fruitful land that the harvest would come in, that people would come to know you. We pray your blessing upon our friends in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Loved ones, there's a couple things that I just want to wrap up with, and one of them is, as John mentioned, I've had the privilege of being with John and Annalie online a few times, and just privileged to walk with them in some struggles. And when he talked about missions is hard, ministry is hard, what you didn't hear was complaining; you just heard acknowledgement. that things can be difficult. And so we want to continue to pray for the Kellys and their ministry. We also want to be able to bless them financially. And so our church council will, out of our funds, bless John today for his time of ministry. And we'll max out what CRA allows us to do and all that. But
you can continue to support, or you can support the Kellys. You can give to our church, to Cornerstone Church, and just mark on it Estonia. And then we send that money to our national office, and they send it. But so we're able to receive a tax receipt because they're Foursquare missionaries. You're able to receive that if you give directly just through Cornerstone Church. We will forward that, and that will get to them there. So if the Lord would stir your heart to be able to just practically give, you're invited to do that. Welcome to do that. The other thing is that John talked about what's your next step. What's your next step? I think that there might be people here today or watching online who need to take just a step towards Jesus. What's your next step? We saw Sam up in the tree and going to the youth event. It wasn't just at the event where his life was touched. His life was touched long before that as the Lord was drawing him. But there might be a next step for you if you've never accepted Christ into your life. Now's the day to take that next step. Or perhaps you accepted Christ some time ago and haven't been following him, haven't been walking with him. As John talked about walking with Jesus, maybe there's been a pause on that or a diversion. You say, no, I want to walk with Christ and rededicate my life. So if you would like to accept Christ into your life, ask him to forgive you of your sin. We're going to do that through prayer. That's a next step. If you want to rededicate your life and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I come to you. Please forgive me for not walking with you, and I want to walk with you now. That's a next step. And it's as easy as ABC. A is to admit that we have sin in our lives or that we're a sinner. That's easy for me to do. I don't have to look very far to admit got sin in my life. B is to believe. Believe that the Lord Jesus, he died on the cross and rose again, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He paid the penalty for my sin. And C is to confess it through prayer. And we just take a moment and we pray. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. And Scripture tells us that if we do that, we're saved. So would you go ahead and let's pray together in this moment. Lord Jesus, we come to you now. And we admit that we have sin in our lives. And we ask that you would forgive us. And loved one, if the Lord just brings anything to your heart, would you just ask him to forgive you right now? Maybe it's one thing, maybe it's a few things, maybe it's just everything. God, I admit that I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me? Maybe you haven't been walking with him. Would you just ask him to forgive? Lord, forgive me for not walking with you. Maybe you're here and you say, I haven't been walking as I should. God, would you forgive me for that? Maybe somehow, like John said, he kind of put the roadblocks up and said, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a missionary. And yet he wanted what you wanted. God, loved ones, would you just take any barriers down to following the Lord? Say, yes, Lord, just forgive me for any barriers. I want to follow you. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. And then just with your own lips, would you say, Lord, I believe. I believe you died on the cross and rose again. Just make that declaration. I believe you died on the cross and rose again. When you're saying that, you're accepting what he did for you, that he paid the penalty for your sin. Lord, I believe you died on the cross and rose again. And now I see, I confess. I confess you as Lord. Jesus, be Lord of my life. Jesus, be Lord of my life. And you can just say that, Jesus, be Lord of my life. And when you do that, we're saying in every area, be Lord of my life. Be Lord of my life. So Jesus, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for setting us free. And now help us to walk with you all the days of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Worship team, I'd like to invite you to come and close the service off in a time of worship.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.